Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness, bind them to the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Hello, dear listener. It's me again. Sorry about that. Our talisman, Matt Egan the Wiser, is otherwise engaged in his journalistic wizardly duties. So for a second week, I am Henry Burrell, erstwhile staff hobbit at IUG UK. A dark force has been gathering in the Western world. Whispers from the mountains of an evil force, a storm brewing on the horizon. All is rising to the surface, certain to uproot every man, woman and child from their once peaceful existence. But before we talk about Pokemon, and my God, how we will, I must ask for the assistance, nay, the allegiance, of a trusted band of friends to help me on my chat-based journey that will last no longer than 40 human minutes. I'm delighted to be joined in fellowship this day by a merry band of travelling journalists, each more dedicated to editorial integrity than the last, comprising townsfolk from the four earthly realms of PC Advisor, Macworld UK, Techworld and Computerworld UK. Leading this audio charge into battle, I give you the Elven Queen of B2B. It's Charlotte G, editor of Techworld.
Hail.
Rallying the troops for the second wave of conversational attack, I give you the heir to the throne of Surrey. It's Scott Carey, online editor at Computerworld UK.
Hi.
And bringing up the rear, he's the size of a man with the beard of a dwarf. It's Chris Martin, consumer tech editor of PC Advisor.
I want to sound a horn, but I don't have one.
That would be brilliant.
You can edit one in.
Yeah.
This week, we are talking the Brexit effect, those pesky pocket monsters and driverless cars. We'll be back faster than you can say, unelected leader of the United Kingdom. As the famous adage goes, Brexit as Brex does. But listener, what does it do? Aside from how Brexit sounds like a dodgy combination of Weetabix and Readybrick, the ethnically positive melting pot that is the UK is reaching boiling point following the government's choice to inherently malfunction and hand the most important political and cultural decision in a generation over to a UK public more emotionally invested in Wetherspoons and Hiddleswift. Charlotte G, it's a right royal mess, but can any positives actually be taken from the Brexit decision if we consider the implications of it on the British technology sector and specifically its startups?
Yes, there are some positives.
That's the end of that section.
Done. Yeah, don't worry, guys.
Sorted it.
It's all probably going to be fine. I guess for the first point that I'd make, and although this seems a bit obvious, it's sort of not necessarily been reflected always, is that although we voted to leave, we are still in the EU and we'll stay in the EU for at least 2 years, probably until the end of this parliament.
Yeah.
So until we trigger Article 50, anyone? Yeah.
Yep, trigger away.
Yep, trigger away. So let's fire that.
Shout racist things until we trigger 50, basically.
Yeah.
Public.
Did we get a trigger warning? Anyway, not altogether a bad thing, although obviously there have been quite a lot of concerning economic signs so far. So, yeah, the first thing I'd say is we've had quite a few startups and people involved in mentoring or investing contacting us with kind of advice or asking for help.
Quite a few.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, I have anyway. I don't know about you.
My inbox is a Brexit zone.
Really? Yeah. Maybe that's because you've marked spam. So I guess the first thing I would say is that if you're a startup, you probably need to worry about your currency exposure. That's kind of fairly obvious. Shouldn't affect you too much, I guess, if you're mainly UK-based, but for international people, that's something they should probably think about.
Is the general consensus from these companies that you're hearing from, are these actual startups themselves, or are you, just so the listeners are aware of how it works on your side, if you're getting advice from companies, who are those companies?
Startups or venture capital or kind of think tank roles or like angel investors.
Okay.
People around and lawyers as well. People like involved in around the kind of London tech scene.
And is the general worry that the UK won't be a go-to place anymore for companies from Europe to thrive? What's the crux here?
That's a bit complex, really. I mean, obviously, yeah. One thing that people have been concerned about is hiring people and what they should do. I mean, obviously, probably not very much for a while. It would seem extremely weird if the government decided to shoot themselves in the foot by not allowing the talent we need to come here.
Yeah,
that has also always been difficult.
Yes.
It's not like it's been an easy thing to do to hire, yeah, like developers from around the world, yeah, to come here. It's always been difficult to get visas, and it was starting, yeah, to get better, but it's, yeah, still, it's always going to be difficult, yeah, anyway.
So it might get easier potentially.
It could do.
I mean, there's been some interesting kind of questions around passporting, which, yeah, basically lets banks and multinational companies access the EU from the UK.
Okay. Right.
And whether or not, like, that will go unless we negotiate us back into it. So,
yeah, and
it's almost,
yeah,
like we shouldn't have left.
Almost. The thing that's important with that is that basically one of the big startup economies in the UK is fintech. Fintech, mm-hmm, yep. London is really, really good at building fintech companies. Mm-hmm. And for a successful fintech, passporting is huge because they need to be able to offer their services globally. So that definitely has an impact there, or a potential, mm-hmm, impact that a lot of people are concerned about.
Yeah.
But I think the theme of the conversation is going to basically be could be, because we don't, mm-hmm, know. So a lot of these are sort of maybes.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely some upsides, though. Thanks to there being a weaker pound, valuations of startups will be quite keen. So in the UK, you could kind of get some good deals going on there. Tech isn't that big an import area. So actually, that shouldn't hurt a lot of these startups that much. Might help property prices become more affordable in London. Is another thing.
For businesses.
For businesses and, mm, and for individuals, because obviously it's all kind of linked, because, yep, everyone has to live somewhere. I feel pretty confident about London, to be honest with you, because it benefits from a lot of things that places like Paris or Frankfurt, whatever, don't have. There's like, it's not just there are lots of tech and startups here. There's also a massive ecosystem, mm, that you can't just suddenly fling up overnight in another country.
Yeah. I think a lot of what we've been hearing, especially from Sadiq, the mayor, is that like London will remain open for business. That's like, mm, their stock line. And outside of government as well, people like Rohan Silver and Alice Benetic have, yes, been very much on the let's be positive about this angle. And, you know, treat it like an opportunity that, you know, all this chaos might create places, yeah, where you can take advantage and start to set up at lower costs and things like that. Mm. I think the concern might be that London will just establish itself more as a powerhouse for startups and the rest of the UK might continue to struggle.
Mm. Yeah, that's always a bit of a risk. I mean, I found something quite interesting recently, which is that a Chinese investment fund called Cocoon invested £500 million into UK venture capital at the beginning of this year, which I think is quite interesting because it kind of shows that even with, and perhaps people didn't correctly predict how close it would be, but it does show that people, even considering we might leave, are still willing to put money into the UK. So, yeah, so, upsides and downsides.
And like outside of the startup bracket, are you sort of seeing, as B2B journalists, any worry in larger sort of enterprise companies? Is IT spend going to be affected drastically by any of these changes, or is it all still a bit nobody knows?
Yeah, no one really knows. The only thing we've seen is like really nitty gritty enterprise IT chat that we won't get into in this forum. But yeah, things like renegotiating your contracts becomes important just in case things change drastically. Mm. Sort of your outsourcing contracts. But again, talent remains sort of difficult anyway. I don't think it changes a great deal because of Brexit.
So you both reckon like on an individual's level, maybe like European workers won't be put off coming to this country to do these kind of jobs? Or is that outside of,
I mean, the issue is, I mean, there are a couple of issues there. The issue is that there still is uncertainty, even though we do at least now have, like, apparently a functioning government. But, I mean, you know, the process is going to take a while and we just do not know what that is going to look like at the end. We don't know what they're going to negotiate and we don't know what they're... I mean, May has kind of made noises about putting on the table the current right of EU residents to live here. So actually, that kind of thing they really need to resolve, because until they resolve those issues, people won't want
people
to.
People will be worried.
Yeah,
and I think from a softer perspective, it just, the whole thing has made England and the UK, the whole of Britain look a slightly less appealing place to live and work.
Unless you get paid in euros.
Yeah.
I mean, on the other hand, like, I can see if you were a contractor that came here for a brief period, that might, that wouldn't put you off.
No.
But yeah, I know what you mean. I think in terms of if you're making big investment decisions about your business, then I would probably wait for, I'd say like within 6 to 12 months, we should have a much clearer idea, because the government won't want to keep this level of uncertainty going for that long. It's good for investors, but it's basically bad for everyone else.
What do you think, Chris?
Do you want a B2C angle?
Yeah. We do.
Well, what we've seen from the consumer side is just an increase of prices for products, basically, already. So,
an example,
the OnePlus 3 launched at £309, and then within a few weeks... within a few weeks, they said... They put a blog post up saying we might put the price up
because
of the value of the pound and Brexit. Mm. And then it was only another week, maybe even less than that, and they said, yep, we're putting the price up by £20. So to £329. So not a huge jump. And they were quite honest about it and said, look, our margins are very small on a phone like this.
Yeah.
It's a very nice phone. It's not just a cheap plasticky, you know, piece of rubbish. So they said, you know, we don't want to, but we're going to have to. And they did give people like 3 days to order it at the old price, which was quite good.
What a great bunch of lads.
And we've also seen...
You're a OnePlus owner, aren't you, Charlotte?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, yeah, I do own a OnePlus.
We've also...
If it's not an iPhone, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I know. You're like, what is that phone? Yeah. Apple don't make... What?
Yeah.
We've also seen the price of like laptops and monitors go up.
Oh, really? Creeping up.
Justifiably, do you think, always?
Some of them, I think our colleague Chris, who's been on the pod, had a monitor for review that was supposed to be just over 100.
Mm.
And then he went to see where you could buy it, and then it was 199. And it was like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
almost
double the price. Yeah. Like, well, the exchange rate in, you know, hasn't changed that much, does it? Like,
no.
So, yeah, a bit negative there.
A bit opportunistic there.
Yeah, cheeky.
Well, yeah, there was... I obviously, you know, wrote about the OnePlus 3 price increase, and then some other journalists tweeted me back saying, oh, that's a good PR stunt, which is kind of like, in a way you kind of want to jump on the everything that's happening to market your product, but at the same time, I'm pretty sure their margins are actually very small on a budget phone like that.
Yeah, that in fairness seems more genuine than...
And only £20. Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, from our side, it's slightly more predictable than guessing about the entire technology sector in the UK.
Yeah. Well, I guess, well, obviously, because with our sector, like, well, kind of as the title business suggests, you kind of have to look at it in a slightly more, I don't know, macro way, and that can be a bit tough.
Word.
I used to be a word.
Thanks for that rundown. Just going to go around the room with the question... Are we keeping the IT in Brexit, or are we winding down just like the pound, Charlotte G?
Yeah, it's good. I mean...
The first one.
The first one. It'll probably be okay.
Scott Carey?
Yeah, IT in Brexit.
Nice. Chris Martin?
What was the second one? Winding down with the pound?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
Rubbish.
Sounds like a great dance move, though.
Winding down just like the pound?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we were recording, I would dance, but we're not. So, we'll be right back, and then we'll talk about those pesky pocket monsters. Existential philosophy. The works of James Joyce. The molecular makeup of the universe. The Rosetta Stone. These things, to name a few, have mere mortals not been able to fully comprehend or understand, such as their power to beguile, amuse, and confound in equal measure. Now, the world has added another complex phenomenon to that list, and, dear listener, you may too be trawling your way through the grandiose, sprawling narratives of its fledgling week of existence. Chris Martin. Pika. 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 Pika.
What do you want me to say?
Chew?
Yeah, sorry, I missed that.
So Pokemon Go's out. As we record, Pokemon Go is live in the UK. Everyone's freaking out.
So
we talked about this last week, listener, in case you weren't. Charlotte isn't freaking out about it.
There's not much to update apart from that. As we record, it launched today, So even more people are now playing Pokemon Go. And
they're literally everywhere.
There's Pokemon everywhere and you've got to catch them all. And I think we're going to have a bit of an argument for and against. Cause,
I think so. I think the headlines here are, it's insane.
Yes.
I've never seen this much interest, particularly over a mobile app or any kind of fad, for some time now.
Yes,
it's been
fad.
Out for maybe 6 days. Sorry, yeah, I just used that word like that. Totally by accident. But I mean, the level of interest, I can't even go on Twitter at the moment for fear of...
Yeah, I mean, even I got annoyed at Twitter earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I don't know who you follow. I haven't seen anything about that. I've just been seeing the cabinet reshuffle.
all the consumer brands just basically tweeted saying it's out on iOS and iPhone. It's like, well, yeah.
So for the listeners who can't distinguish our voices, I've not yet played it. Chris does play it.
Yes.
Scott, do you play?
Never played.
Charlotte. Have we all played Pokemon though?
Yeah, yes. So I'm gonna lay out my position.
Lay us a beat.
Just gonna
like the thing is I love Pokemon. Like, I used to like love the Game Boy games, and I'm a fan, but I just can't quite get on board with Pokemon Go because I can't see myself walking around in public and trying to catch Pokemon on a screen.
So in the past, your Pokemon shame has been restricted to private moments.
Yeah, like, I mean, even the tube, it was you know, a push.
Yeah.
So it's that aspect that I'm finding difficult to get to grips with.
I can understand the social awkwardness of it.
Yeah.
Like,
I suppose
I don't particularly like
some people just don't care, do they?
I don't particularly like using my phone like on the train, sitting next to someone, even just looking at my emails, like, because I just don't really like.
So British.
Yeah, I don't like that. People try and read The Economist over my shoulder, and I'm just.
It's not so bad. I'm like,
it's one of the most Charlotte G thing I've ever.
So, yeah, I don't really have a counter argument to.
That's right. Like Scott said,
I do have a counter argument.
Do it.
So yesterday we went out to a few events. Henry came with us.
I had to help you cross the road.
were you the eyes on the situation?
I was the only one on the phone using Google Maps.
Oh, good lord. Okay.
But Pokemon Go is Google Maps, so
you didn't know where you were going.
It's an actual map.
Apart from like towards.
I knew where I was going anyway. Yeah. Anyway. So we were, like, three of us were playing it. Henry was kind of, guiding us around. But we ended up kind of noticing...
Chris is 29.
we ended up noticing that, you know, some other people were playing while walking along the road next to us. And we ended up having a little bit of a chat with them. Yeah, and okay. I'm, like, fairly introvert, like, with people I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was, like, well happy to chat to them, and it was quite cool. And
you could take up smoking, though, and get the same experience. I mean, I don't feel like
that's
only...
Cool.
So, the Daily Mail's probably already claimed that Pokemon Go gives you cancer. So.
Probably. Yeah.
So, even I'll admit, that was quite funny. They might even be tourists. I'm not even sure.
I think they sounded American. Although obviously, they could live here, but...
But why are they doing that? Why are they playing Pokemon Go? They're tourists in London. They have a finite amount of time, and they're choosing to spend it.
Could be rare British Pokemon,
God.
Well, as I said last week, it is, like, all the stops in Pokemon Go are a bit of a tour of London, so I've already seen loads of stuff near the office that I didn't know was there.
Yeah. Isn't Nelson's Column a gym with a Pidgeot on top?
Possibly.
Oh, that'd be so cool. See, I should be into this. Yeah. I should on board, but I'm just not.
But you don't need to play Pokemon to look at Nelson's Column. This is what I don't understand.
No, but it's got a Pidgeot on top.
Yeah,
you're missing the key point.
When I say that I've spotted things that...
Yeah.
Yeah, when I say I spotted things that I didn't know were there, I don't mean huge... columns.
Right, I'm like
I mean, like, smaller.
It's massive, mate. You smaller things.
I hadn't noticed the Thames until you realised it was full of magic.
Okay, what have you noticed? And I'm going to decide whether or not I think you can notice that without Pokemon Go. Go. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Got nothing.
You saw a statue the other day. You didn't realise it was there.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't remember who it was.
Some of them are like little plaques and stuff.
Yeah.
They're actually quite high up on buildings. So
have you noticed Lenin's plaque yet?
Sorry?
Lenin.
Oh, yeah, he opened that B2B over the road, didn't he?
Yeah.
Probably not quite that.
Did you say he opened a B&B?
Well, it's on a B&B.
Oh, right. Oh, I was going to say Lenin's B&B.
What Pokemon would Lenin be?
Who knows?
Email us, listener.
We're running out of time.
I don't know.
Okay. what other arguments are there against
Pokemon? I think there's a social implication.
There's a social element.
I think that it basically looks like a generation of people that can't come to terms with being adults.
Wow.
And also, I think it increases risk of accidents, makes you more vulnerable to crime, also, potentially.
I think the same could be said, though, to be on Chris's side slightly.
Yeah.
That smartphones have done that to us all anyway.
Yeah.
we're more likely to have them out in public and, you know, be sort of victims to crime and that.
I suppose it's kind of, I don't know, I feel like it's just another step of us basically offloading our ability.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
We need to think for ourselves to our smartphones again.
Yeah.
Which slightly worries me.
Okay, different question. How long does this last?
Yeah,
How long does the buzz last?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to die down.
I mean, Pokemon on the Game Boy, I mean, you could argue that's been around for, 10, 15 years. Still
like Pokemon
strong.
Go will 100% stick around and it will have a fan base, but how long will this buzz
But the
last?
Buzz won't stick around. Like, people will carry on playing it, but the hype will die down.
Yeah, basically, like, the masses will play it for like
the masses,
like a few, you know, the millions of people will play it for a few weeks until they hit that point where it gets a bit more difficult to like actually find stuff that you haven't already got. So then it will reduce
They'll
to just
bail out.
Then it will reduce to like the niche hardcore fans that are actually prepared to carry on playing to actually get them all. I mean, I've already hit
because that is our one true test.
Yeah,
can we get them all? True.
I've already hit a point where it's kind of like not quite as fun because.
So, are you saying sort of risk reward balance? The kind of
pleasure. Yeah, it's more the effort, kind of element.
And in Nintendo were laughing. I saw today share prices up over £5 billion in 6 days.
So, they've seen a 50% increase or something. Yeah. I should have bought shares in Nintendo this came out.
Chris, I wanted to ask you this because I've actually heard that it's not actually that good a game. Like as
in
a like they're like as a game it's actually like not that well made a game. It's the whole novelty
on the map. Nothing is 3D, is it? It's a flat plane that you view on the phone.
Yeah, so you can see roads.
No, but Pokemon had a narrative, didn't it?
Yeah.
Does this not even have a narrative? Is it literally just walk around?
Catch them all.
That's not
a tagline.
Really.
That's not a narrative.
It is very. It is unique when you look at it compared to all the other Pokemon games. For lots of different reasons, but also that. So what I'm surprised about is, it's been a bit buggy and stuff, but that's mostly because we've been downloading it before it's released properly.
Yeah,
and the volume of people.
Yeah, and the server and all that kind of stuff. But that aside, there's an extreme lack of like actually telling you how to play.
Yeah,
like it kind of starts you off and you're like, oh yeah, here's Pokemon. You need to walk around, throw the Pokeballs, but you would know that anyway. And then it's more like the little details, like people are really confused about how you win a gym and then how you get the gym to be better. And like,
although those are things you couldn't do in Pokemon games before, right?
Yeah. Sort of like a new normally you would go to a gym and just defeat the leader and get a badge.
Like, do you do this in your lunch break, during your commute? Are people like leaving their children unwashed and unfed while they play Pokemon?
Possibly.
Or bring their children with them.
I just like, when are people playing this? How do these people have so much time?
I don't know. We did pop out at lunchtime, but for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Got a gym, didn't we? Team Yellow.
I
think we've still got it now, but I got kicked out because I was the last one in. But
right. Okay.
Can you catch a Pokemon in the actual gym?
No.
No?
No, the gym is just for owning and battling.
And what about a real gym, though, where you lift weights
and stuff? Oh, yeah, you can.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. I think the gyms should be gyms in real life.
It is odd. If you haven't seen it already, go and look at the video of them all playing in Central Park. It's actually terrifying.
Oh, God, yeah. We get the world we deserve.
Yeah, exactly.
We discussed this on the pod last week, and I think it is cool in terms of it's a real, obviously popular use case for augmented reality.
Mm. Yes.
Everyone's chatting about virtual reality.
That's true.
And the games will get better now.
It's free as well, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, with in-app purchasing.
Yeah.
I have not spent any money.
And so you don't have to. I won't.
No. Okay. What if you have to progress?
You don't have to.
Okay.
We'll be interested to know if Scott starts playing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really touching.
What I would suggest is that obviously people have got strong opinions about it, but you need to try it.
I'm concerned about starting and then becoming addicted and then not doing anything else.
It's kind of you admitting that it's awesome.
Kind of.
Yeah, it actually is, isn't it, in a way? Yeah.
Revelations on
guess
the
pod. That's why people don't take heroin, I guess. Anyway.
That's the soundbite we're going to take away from that segment, listener. Do let us know what you think about Pokemon Go. You're probably playing it right now. Tweet us at UK Tech Podcast.
Could you play Pokemon Go while listening to a podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Multitasking.
Cool.
Deep. So I'm just thinking about how that would work. Okay, cool. Let's go around the room. Question, Charlotte G. Are you having a poker ball or are you completely poker bored?
I am poker faced unimpressed about the whole thing.
That's a really good answer.
Middle of the road, but
thank you.
Quite non-committal. Scott Carey.
Well, we all know I'm non-committal, so I'm going to nick Charlotte's answer.
There you go. Meh. Chris, pokeball or pokeboard?
Yeah, having a pokeball.
Excellent.
Pokeball.
Yeah. That's what he said.
Okay, cool. Next.
What about you, Henry?
I'm really poker bored of it.
And Henry hasn't even played it either. So.
I know. No, you do. Chris has a point.
I don't want to say about it anymore. We talked about it for 2 weeks in a row. Okay, cool. Straight back after this, driverless cars. As Henry Ford once said, you can have any colour as long as it's black. Now, Tesla's Elon Musk is saying, you can have any car as long as you don't drive it. Driverless cars are the latest invention by humans that take a previous invention and incorporate even higher levels of human laziness into their operation, following on from remote controls, bread machines, and those Bluetooth headsets that only taxi drivers and creepy old dudes wear. Scott Carey. Please fill us in on what's happened with driverless cars this week. Should we take a step into the world of automobiles, or is it a bit too Minority Report?
Driverless cars seem to be the hot topic at the moment. Away from Elon Musk and Tesla, there seem to be a raft of startups now that are coming out of the woodwork with driverless and autonomous technology. We know that Uber are working really hard on autonomous cars, but keeping their cars very close to their chest. But the reason behind that may be because Tesla have been in the news recently because there was the first death caused by the autonomous mode, which is where the autopilot mode on a Tesla out in Florida. And then there was another accident this week, non-fatal, where, interestingly, the driver came out and said he would use autopilot again. the thing is, a lot of the people that use Teslas or that are early adopters of or the autopilot mode tend to be people who are keen on it.
Mm-hmm.
So
like
they tend
technology,
to,
right?
Yeah. So they, you have to sort of take that with a little bit of a pinch
they've
of salt.
They've not been forced into doing it.
No.
Yeah. I suppose cars crash all the time as well, right?
Well, this is Tesla's argument. Tesla's argument is that I can't remember the figures, but basically go on then.
Autopilot has been used safely in over 100 million miles of driving by tens of thousands of customers. And they say it is statistically inevitable that a collision will occur, but it's statistically safer than not using autopilot, they claim.
It is massively statistically safer. And the fact is that humans are terrible at operating machinery. Like, it's proven that humans are not very good at operating machinery, especially when they've had a drink. Whereas robots technically should be able to, like, operate machinery in a better way, in a safer way, because they don't make rash decisions.
Oh, unless they have been drinking.
Of course. So it And the reason that Tesla give for the first fatal accident happening is basically a glitch. Like it was a very bright day. It was a white lorry on a bright background that the cameras can pick up. And this is something that they'll now work really hard on fixing. That doesn't mean that the person that died comes back to life, but it does show that this is still early technology and people are taking risks into their hands when they try it out.
But conceivably, that's the sort of thing that a human eye would not see as well.
Possibly. Possibly. If you had a glare, I mean, if you couldn't see... the difference is that a human wouldn't... I mean, the interesting thing about both of the crashes, and potentially there might have been a third one, the US authorities are investigating that. But the interesting thing about it is that no one had their hands on the wheel at the time of the crash.
Right.
Well, so, this is where the stupidity argument comes in.
I mean, and not to like... I mean, it's very difficult because obviously someone was killed, but I mean, you know, they didn't take over the steering. They probably could have done. Perhaps he was watching.
He was watching a Harry Potter film.
Yeah. So the thing is that, you know, these are clearly people that have an appetite for risk that others might not.
They tell you that you shouldn't just completely switch off. Yeah. Like autopilot mode is there to take over the car, but you should still be there just in case something like this happens.
So that's what I was going to ask. Is there like are there legal safety regulations about these kind of things yet? Or is it up to the car?
That's the thing, is it's also new that the regulators haven't caught up. Yeah. So they're all still sort of scrambling around, and the insurance companies are scrambling around to work out how this all works.
They are thinking about it, though. In the UK, the government launched a consultation this week into driverless cars, and there are trials in Greenwich, I think.
Greenwich, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Big ups to Greenwich.
So, yeah, it's not like, you know, they don't know, well... It's not like the government don't know what they're doing, but it's something they're thinking about, but it's so new that they haven't been able to
These stories we're hearing of crashes, are they out of America?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay. They're all in America at the moment, because I think I'm right in saying that we don't really have... Do we have that in the UK yet?
I think I've seen Teslas, but I'm pretty sure that you can't autopilot a Tesla.
I mean, autopilot is a hard one to define, because, I mean, I've used... some autopilot features within cars, like where you set a speed or
like cruise control.
Or where you like do parallel parking, where you let the car park for you.
No way, really.
Yeah.
There are some awesome videos on YouTube of Teslas basically taking evasive action when. So there's one where a truck comes onto the highway, makes a really horrendous maneuver where it basically leans into the car and the car jerks out of the way, drops back, goes round it on the inside, which is extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
Because the only video I've seen like that is of a Volvo, which was meant to stop and it ran over a journalist.
Oh my God.
I'm pretty sure it was a...
Note to driverless car companies, don't run over the press at the launch.
I think there's a Ford Focus model that can brake for you.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. And there's a few cars around that do like lane control.
I think it's a Focus avoidance that I'm thinking of actually that does the not just cruise control but also will brake for you.
That advert in the cinema, that's a Volkswagen, right? Have you seen that one? No one goes to cinema anymore, it's just me, isn't it?
Yeah, I haven't
been
in ages.
I go to cinema. Okay. I went to watch a horrific film the other day.
Yeah.
Is it about driverless cars?
No. I went to see The Neon Demon. But anyway, that's another podcast.
Yeah.
Who do you think the target market for driverless cars is? Is it just the rich? Because, I mean, Tesla's cost an absolute bomb, right?
Mm. Hmm. It tends to be rich, techie people.
The global plutocracy.
the guy that died in Florida was a ex... army lieutenant, I think. I've probably got his rank wrong, but he then became a tech entrepreneur.
Okay.
I would probably say middle-aged men.
Yeah.
That are into tech.
You've got to be, pretty loaded, don't you? Because is the insurance more than a regular car?
I don't know. It must be because of the unknowns and the risk, how new it all is.
It must be, and they want to make money off people who have already got money, I'm assuming.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, perhaps there's like a slight premium. I don't really know.
I mean, if I was an insurance company, I'd be charging them more.
Yeah. God, Chris, you rampant capitalist.
That's me.
Yeah, that's Chris all over.
Scott, you were talking about like Uber investing and other companies jumping on it. Is that in terms of the actual cars themselves, or are we talking more about sort of software for...
Yeah, the technology. So I think Uber are looking at doing a sort of all-in-one themselves where...
Are we talking a taxi with no driver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, automate away the driver.
I was out in Singapore a couple of months ago, and I was talking to a company out there, which is a US spin-out, but they've moved over to Singapore because it's a lot easier to test this technology out there. There's a lot more empty streets and the government is a lot more receptive to it. So there are a load of guys from Boston, they've gone out there. And what it comes down to is a package of cameras, sensors, and some sort of hardware that will that will drive a car for you. So what Uber are doing is the same thing. They're building it sort of a pack that would be a pack of sensors and cameras that you could install in the car, and then it would become an autonomous vehicle.
So
and
that's interesting.
What the guy from Nutonomy, which is the startup in Singapore, was saying is it's actually a lot easier to do a driverless taxi than a driverless car because it's a very restricted area. So you can teach a car the layout of a neighbourhood and it can then operate in that neighbourhood quite easily rather than a car, which you would have to effectively teach how to drive every road in the world.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And from a financial point of view, correct me if I'm oversimplifying, but if the initial spend is quite big on technology like this, are these companies then thinking they will save money by having all the profit from the rides?
Yeah, they won't have to
pay any dollars. Yeah, I mean, it would pay for itself.
That's pretty much the idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, they would be stupid not to be investigating this technology. It's probably still a little way off, but it makes so much sense for Uber to be looking at this.
So if this becomes a thing, is there going to be even more of a backlash from people, taxi drivers?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, they would potentially be making an awful lot of people unemployed, so, don't know.
But you're saying that they're going to sell a pack. Is that not two people that own the Uber cars?
No, I think they'll design a pack that they could then install on cars.
Are you talking about retrofitting cars to be driverless rather than
new?
There's a lot of interesting questions there because Uber don't actually own any cars.
No,
that's
why. Well, people love saying that at tech conferences.
No, don't.
Like Airbnb don't own any homes.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you don't say.
Pokemon Go is the next one now, isn't it?
Yeah, Pokemon Go is going to
be like, look at AR, look what it can do for you.
Yeah.
Have fun at those conferences, guys.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Yeah.
Back to back in September. Anyway. We don't. As I said, Uber are keeping their cards close to their chest. All we know is that they're investigating the technology. How they'll actually deploy it is a whole new set of questions.
I would imagine, without actually knowing, that it must be a bit challenging, a bit more challenging to retrofit than it is to just have cars.
Because you have to essentially install a load of wires.
Yeah,
exactly.
A bit clunky and a bit difficult.
I reckon the risk of them not being fitted properly has got to be much higher.
So like, higher than just
those cars are going to get the ones that are going to go wrong, aren't they?
Yeah. You've got your old Vauxhall Nova that's been retrofitted. Yeah. No one's getting in that.
No,
I would. I'd be quite interested in getting a driverless taxi.
Yeah, especially
in places where the taxi drivers are really grumpy
or chatty.
I think one big issue. I don't know. Probably more in the US than in the UK, given sort of how huge it is and the distances between things are, is when will there ever be a point where you can get your driverless car basically as your own taxi when you've been to a bar? Because for a lot of people, I think that's the issue that people want to know. Will they ever be able to just completely trust the car?
Do you think there's a perception thing here as well? Like, people are worried, and we would be worried about getting to the front seat of a car if it was our car. But if you're ordering from a different service and it's like a taxi turning up, do you think mentally you trust it more? Because you get in the back seat, it's not yours.
But it's empty.
I know, but like you were saying, like if you call your own car, like this taxi service, you worry less about it when you get in a taxi. You don't think about where you're going.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I would trust it more.
I don't think I'd
trust
it.
But you'd be not as bothered. You know, if you owned the car, you'd be more worried about it going wrong or whatever and
come
damage
with your potential impending death.
I'm not sure. I think there's a horror story in the offing, and no one nicked this from me. That's the driverless car that arrives at the party and the person in it is dead.
Is that a piece of fanfic?
Yeah, I'm just going to
anti-Musk
my anti-Musk fanfic. But it is a fairly chilling prospect because, for example, the guy that got killed in the first kind of known death, the car
drove off again.
The car carried on. That's really weird.
Charlie Brooker has been commissioned to do 12 new episodes of Black Mirror.
Don't steal my idea, Charlie.
He is definitely going to do something about that.
Why are they dead on arrival at the party?
Well, the point is the car doesn't know that you're dead.
You crash, and then it keeps driving.
And then it just carries on. This guy that was in the car, the first crash, it just carried on.
Oh, I see. I didn't realise.
That's a bit chilling.
Wow, this took a turn,
didn't
it?
Sorry.
I thought you meant he died of, like, someone died of other causes.
Yeah, that could also happen, but I more meant, like, you could have a crash, and it would just be like, okay, carry on.
Chilling times in
UK
Tech Weekly podcast.
Yeah, soz.
Cheer yourself up by getting Pokemon instead.
Don't play Pokemon while operating your Tesla.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, only just, Pokemon Go and driverless
cars.
In
fact, that's the perfect combination.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, and also, just like, while you're in that driverless car playing Pokemon, try not to worry about Brexit.
Nice. We have come full circle. So, Charlotte G, I just want to ask you, driver less or driver more?
Driver more.
Scott Carey?
Driver less.
A nice balance of the two.
Lovely.
Driver just right.
Depending on the amount of alcohol I've had.
Good point. Thank you for joining us in this spirited trilogy of top tech topics from the past 7 days. Please do get in touch to let us know what you thought of all that, or indeed if you're interested in advertising. You can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. When Friday rolls around next week, be sure to tune back in for the new edition and make that painful Friday afternoon about 40 minutes shorter or longer, depending on how you think this one went. Whichever way you've ended up here, please remember that you can also listen to us via iTunes, SoundCloud, Embedded Online, InBed Offline, and please subscribe so that we auto slide into your digital device of choice every Friday. We're not sure, as we mentioned, if you can listen while playing Pokemon Go, but chances are, listener, you're on it right now, so please let us know. Stay safe, look before you cross the road, and for God's sake, remember to eat. We love you all. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.